The Play Action Podcast is fueled by Picasso's Pizza, where every night is pizza night.
The 2025 NFL Draft is in the books, and it went roughly as expected for the Buffalo Bills. A heavy emphasis on defense in a draft that was loaded with defensive talent. Bills go with the fill the biggest need on their board at cornerback with the first pick. They go first five picks for defense, six of the first seven for defense. Catherine, let's start off with the number one pick, Maxwell Hairston.
Yeah, he was a guy who was mocked to the Bills in a lot of mock drafts. We talked about him a lot, wrote about him at the Buffalo News leading up to the draft, just A, knowing that they needed someone at corner, but B, his speed especially stands out. Brandon Bean always likes to say that they follow their board when it comes to the draft, drafting the best player available, but this was, you know,
right,
matched up very nicely.
Right. Obviously, they have a big, they had a big gaping hole opposite of Christian Benford with them moving on from Rasul Douglas. And like you said, the best trait Hairston brings to the table is speed. 4.28 in the 40-yard dash. He is the fastest defensive player the Bills have ever had.
Yeah.
Now, he was the fastest player in the draft. And he has the traits. He's, 31-inch arms, which meets the criteria for above average, good at the cornerback level. He is good at making plays on the ball. Five interceptions in 2023, six interceptions in his last 20 starts. The only question on him going into the draft was, would he meet their bar for tackling? And he's been inconsistent at tackling. So that was why I had some, on the fence. Would they take him or would they take Trey Amos at cornerback? You can't argue with speed. And their secondary needs more speed. Christian Benford is fast enough, but he's a 4.53 guy. Speed isn't his. He's got a good, excellent cover guy, good instincts. Their safeties aren't supremely fast. Cole Bishop has good speed, but they could use the speed. And when you look at the performance by the defense, the pass defense last year, they need it.
Yeah, I think also, let's go back to the tackling for a second. That's something that Hairston himself is aware of. Mm-hmm. He brought it up saying that he knows he needs to work on it. Brandon Bean talked about it as well, saying they're going to, do as much as they can from their standpoint to get him up to speed, for lack of better words, on tackling.
Right. They made the point that he played at 183 and he's up to 190. They think that'll help a little, but he needs coaching.
Yes. And he already has started to build that relationship with Bills cornerback coach Jamil Adai. I think that's really important, him just weighing in on, I think he tweeted out a picture of them getting to see each other again once he got into Buffalo after being drafted. But I think that'll be such an important relationship.
And I think, you just look, let's review the obvious need here. Kansas City, their inability to take the air out of Roots killed them against Kansas City. Kansas City's quick passing game came out with a quick passing game. The Bills could not stop it, especially after Benford went out of the game. Rasul Douglas is an off coverage zone guy at 31 years old. Kyir Elam had a bad game, did not play well in press man. They needed to get better in man coverage. Sean McDermott admitted it after the game. We had to go to man coverage and it didn't go well. Bill's third down defense, 29th in the NFL, 43.7% success rate. Even when they got teams in third and bad, third and 6-9, they were 32nd in the NFL by a long way. Their third and 6-9 was 53.7%, even worse than overall. I think there is perception that the run defense needed help, and it did, but the advanced statistics, the pass defense was 23rd, the run defense was, believe it or not, fourth. Now, there's a lot of variance on the run defense. They're either great or bad. In other words, they were among the led the league or in the top three in tackles or run stuffs, but then they give up a lot of 10 plus runs. So, you know, where could they have gone? I think once Tyleek Williams, the defensive tackle for Ohio State, went off the board at 28 to Detroit, it was no question it had to be a cornerback.
Mark, you already alluded to the theme of this draft, which was defense, defense, defense. Let's look around at the rest of the picks and just kind of what they're going to contribute to the team and, you know, how Brandon Bean built this class overall.
Yeah, I mean, day two was fascinating and a lot to chew on there. So they move up from 56 to 41 to take defensive tackle T.J. Sanders. Get a third-round pick. They take Landon Jackson, defensive end, backup defensive end. And then with their first pick in the fourth round, they take big defensive tackle Deion Walker, blots out the sun, 6'7". I'm going to call him 340. He measured at the combine 331, but everybody loses weight for the combine. He played at 345. Huge man. Okay. I think the big, you know, it was everybody was expecting run stuffer first over pass rushing defensive tackle, and that's not what they did. So they go with T.J. Sanders, South Carolina, high character guy. He plays the three technique at Oliver position. Now he, you know, they'll ask him to play some one technique. The nose tackle, Daquan Jones position, but really his best position is as a penetrating pass rusher. Again, we go back to the pass defense being a colossal problem. And even really, let's not forget the Baltimore game. They won the turtle battle 3-0, and the defense was not that good that day either. Yes, credit the defense for getting turnovers, but Baltimore outgained them in that game. So by a lot. So T.J. Sanders, you know, the plan is on 3rd and 8, in key situations, it's going to be Greg Rousseau, Ed Oliver, T.J. Sanders, Joey Bosa. And that is the vision, and it's going to be better than what they had last year. I like T.J. Sanders. He brings juice. He brings pass rush. He's 300. He plays tougher against the run than 300 suggests. He's not a complete monster against the run.
Yeah, and I think, again, just looking at what they were doing on defense, Brandon Bean, I'm trying to find the exact quote, but he basically at one point was saying, the offense didn't lose us the game to Kansas City, which, you know, what that would imply is the defense did.
Yes.
And so you look at just kind of how they kept moving throughout the draft, defense after defensive player after defensive player. Deion Walker, let's talk about him for a second. There was some concern with a back injury, but that was part of why Brandon Bean thought, you know, his 2024 season wasn't what it should have been.
Right, and he said in 2023, if he had come out, he might have been a first-round pick.
Yeah, so I thought that was, obviously he didn't enter the draft after that season, but,
right.
You know, it's just the way they projected back on him. Here's what he could return to was
right.
Interesting.
So 340 pounds, so definitely like getting that. So he, in theory, should be a good backup to Daquan Jones, who's not a zero against the pass. Actually, he played more three technique in college than he played one technique. It was about 45% three technique, 25% one technique. A crack in the vertebrae in the back makes me think of Terrell Troop, the giant nose tackle they took. But let's not go to think about the bad old drought days. But you know, they said it wasn't discovered till after the season.
Right.
So they said, you know, therapy, getting that back stronger, blah blah blah, should be okay. Okay. Well, we can't. You know, who knows? He's a two-time team captain. Love that. They love those kind of guys.
Sure do.
Landon Jackson, their third-round pick, two-time team captain. Let me go back to T.J. Sanders. You know, a couple things. One, you know, presuming he pans out, he could be the long-term. He's the long-term replacement for Ed Oliver.
Okay.
But that doesn't help them the next 2 years.
Right.
I mean, Ed is here for 2 or 3 years for sure. But the second guess there is, could they have gone with a bigger run stuffer? Alfred Collins of Texas, 332 pounds, was on the board, went two picks later at 43. Donovan Ezeraku, 16.5 sacks, Boston College edge rusher, went three picks later to Dallas at 44. So those three guys, it is going to be 3 years from now, we are going to step back and look and say, who got the best value? T.J. Sanders at 41, Alfred Collins at 43, Ezeraku to Dallas at 44. Granted, Ezeraku would not provide as much immediate benefit because they have Bosa, Greg, they have all the other pieces.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's a real interesting one. And one more point about the Collins pick. I do credit Brandon Bean with being active moving up. They had 56. He moves up 15 spots to 41. They had to move up to get an impact player there, whether it was anyone, because you saw the run there, 41, 43, 44, 45 was an edge rusher. Nick Scourton, another pretty good edge rusher, gone at 51. The best wide receiver on the board was gone at 55, another edge rusher at 52. So being proactive, he deserves credit for that. The pool of impact defensive tackles was second round value was thinning.
Yes. They rounded out their draft class with, you know, a couple guys on offense, three guys on offense, that is. They got a tight end, an offensive tackle, wide receiver, threw in another cornerback there, a defensive
two cornerbacks. Yeah, safety cornerback, yeah.
Yeah. So what do you make of just this draft class, their overall composure?
Yeah, I mean, I think, so we talked about Walker. Landon Jackson, I think, at 72 is great value because he has upside.
Yes.
Okay, 6.5 sacks each of the last 2 years, not monster seasons, but he played a significant amount more inside, 4-eye position, inside shoulder of the tackle. Bills don't play their ends there. So, and he, 40.5-inch vertical jump, 10-9 broad jump, 34-inch arms, brings more upside, say, than A.J. Epenesa. Realistically, you take a defensive end at 72, A.J. Epenesa is the good upside there.
Yeah.
Now, yes, there is a 5% chance he's Max Crosby, okay? But good case scenario at 72, he's A.J. Epenesa, and that's good. A.J. Epenesa is a good player who helps the Bills win games. He just doesn't chase down Patrick Mahomes in the playoff loss.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. To get back to your Jordan Hancock, interesting traits, cornerback safety, can play some slot, can play safety. He in 41.5-inch vertical jump, 4.42 to 4.45, can play the zone. I like Dorian Strong, late pick, good zone cornerback, good instincts in zone. 44 starts, good versus the run. That is a guy who could stick. The two offensive guys, Chase Lunt, tackle, Caden Prather, their depth practice squad.
I thought it was interesting, the tight end they went after, who, they need a third tight end, but also how they foresee him maybe more backing up Dawson in the more of a blocking tight end. They want to get him involved in the pass game as well, but that's not his specialty right now.
Yeah, spent 5 years at Yale, transferred to Georgia Tech. They needed a blocking tight end as their number three. I mean, unless he flops, I think he's a lock as the number three tight end and has a chance to see real snaps, really, like significant contributor, guys who contribute. Hairston obviously starts. Sanders, Landon Jackson, Deion Walker, all, you would expect them to be real contributors, and Jackson Haw is a real contributor. And we'll see about the others. Okay, the Bills draft 9 players, 6 for defense. I think it's easy to see 6 making the roster. It's good to keep young, cheap players. Catherine, now let's look at the roster and say who on the roster, veteran players, were winners and losers as a result of all these additions.
Right. We've gone through kind of how we see these guys impacting. But now within the room, I think wide receiver, That's a group of winners in the sense of they don't have to worry about as much competition from a slew of picks or earlier picks. The Bills took Caden Prather in the 7th round out of Maryland, you know, versus taking a wide receiver in an earlier round. So I think that bodes well for Brandon Bean, kind of went out of his way to talk about his philosophy on wide receivers and looking back at what the Bills were able to do last year, saying he wasn't worried about taking a step back necessarily. So the everybody eats mentality is continuing there. So we'll see how that pans out for them. But, you know, that's some level of comfort for the wide receivers currently in the room.
No doubt. I mean, it's a vote of confidence for Josh Palmer, the key new addition. So it's Keon, Josh Palmer, Shakir as the starters in the three receiver set. Curtis Samuel, I think they would hope he's going to have a better season, a little bit better. They think he's got some upside. And that's four. That's your clear top four. For me, number five is Laviska Shenault right now because of his kick return ability, and they're really set at slot receiver. That's why they didn't. There were slot receivers were all off the board for them because they've got Shakir, they got Samuel who can play the slot, and they got Shenault who is a credentialed player. So that's if that's your top five, the only question is what happens if they get an injury,
right?
And it's Terrell Shavers, KJ Hamler, Jalen Virgil, that's their backup. If they, if they have two injuries, that's what you start to worry. Another winner for me is DaQuan Jones. His position as a critical player on this roster as the number one nose tackle, one technique defensive tackle is completely set. And they need DaQuan Jones to be really good this year at age 33.
Yes. Last year of his contract, I believe, right?
Yep.
Yeah, so I think they're looking for just to get as much out of him as possible. But to your point, didn't draft in a way that puts as much pressure on him in that sense.
Yep.
Let's talk about cornerback room.
Cornerbacks. So there's a load of competition there. And I think Cam Lewis, Brandon Codrington are kind of losers, quote-unquote losers. Not that they can't win jobs, but they have a lot more competition. So it's Benford, Hairston, Taron Johnson as your starters, and Trey White is, I would call the next guy. Then you have... Dane Jackson.
Yeah.
Who now has a tremendous amount of competition from Dorian Strong. Jordan Hancock kind of plays the Cam Lewis safety corner position. How quickly can Jordan Hancock catch on? But, they drafted him to make the team with the traits that he brings to the table. Ingram, Codrington. So that Strong, I like Strong. I like Strong if he can have a good camp to make the team. So there, all of a sudden, cornerback is, they've got good depth there. A loser, Duane Carter, defensive tackle.
Yeah.
Because now they drafted two players at that position who they are invested in. Carter was a third round pick last year. He's a tweener, three technique, one technique. Is he actually excellent at either position? We can't say that right now.
Dealt with that wrist injury last year, so they didn't get to see as much out of him as they wanted. But there's obviously some pressure on him now that they've drafted the way they did.
And the safety room is the veterans at safety are winners too.
Yeah.
There was some talk, might they, if the board goes bad, take a safety in the first or second round? No. So it's Taylor Rapp and Cole Bishop as the top two. And really, I feel, they have depth there. They have veteran depth there. Hamlin, obviously, as your third safety is a good option. And Derek Forrest has really good traits and has started in the NFL. He and Hamlin can have a real good battle for the number three spot. And now you got Cam Lewis and Hancock battling for the flex position. Yeah. So that's a wrap. I should say this is my last play action podcast. I am retiring after 43 and a half years at the Buffalo News. It's been a pleasure, Catherine, but the play action podcast goes on.
Yes, keep, you know, it's been such a pleasure to work with Mark, and he's done so much for the paper over all this time, so we will miss him dearly. But yeah, we're sending him out on one final draft pod as he deserves. So make sure you're subscribing to the Buffalo News and then just listening for whenever we're back.
Treat your team to the most flavorful pizza on game day at Picasso's Pizza. Four great Western New York locations: Williamsville, West Seneca, Lancaster, and Blaisdell. Picasso's. We are Buffalo's Pizza since 1980. Order online today at picassospizza.net.